This is This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's heart and soul.
It's 8:35 right now on Namibia's Heart and Soul. We checked out Cade with Jolie. We also had Twister and Faith Evans with a favorite, isn't it? With Hope. Thank you so much for choosing us. Around about this time, every single Thursday, we welcome the Minister of News, the Commander in Chief of Information, all these times
I'm co-signing everything.
But you have to admit, David,
it's like every week I get a new title.
A new title. But you have to admit, our people love titles.
Yeah,
we love titles.
You know what it is? We love the title more than the salary.
Yeah, I think
sometimes.
You know when I MC stuff now, especially the official events.
Mm-hmm.
You know how much we get grilled as MCs. Make sure.
Oh no, you gotta get it right.
You get the title.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, His Excellency. What?
Comrade.
What? Right Marshal of the Omi, bro.
That's right. That's probably why I don't get much MC work.
What?
Because you will be annoyed. You'll just be like, well, yes, Dr. Hake Kingo.
Here's the guy.
Like, yeah. What's your name again? Then you put the mic in his face.
In his face. Like,
we're all equals here. Come on.
Right? Like,
Now, David, in terms of the news, the last 14 days, 7 days since the last time we spoke.
Yeah.
What has been trending? There's a couple of things that I saw, especially locally. The one that I saw was the pensioners asking City of Vinuk to write off their dead.
I don't know if you follow that story.
Big
march there. We've been carrying that quite a bit. Leonard from the news team's been doing good work getting sort of updates from the community members themselves as well. Talking about... obviously, when it comes to writing off of debts and stuff, it always becomes controversial because some people will say, well, why do those people get their debts written off and I don't get my debts written off? But I mean, we know and we've spoken before, people are struggling. Times are tough out there at the moment.
True.
And, we can carry on if we blame COVID or we don't blame COVID, but things have not gotten back to where they were. I mean, a lot of people were struggling pre-COVID, and COVID exacerbated a lot of that as well. I mean, we're hearing from even the Karatura Old Age Home how the funding, the money that they get to look after the elderly there is also sort of, not kept up with. We know inflation's shooting up and the whole joke goes everything goes up but salaries, and I think that's becoming more and more evident that inflation's just not being controlled, interest rates are going up. The oil price is looking okay, so we might be all right. We're getting to that time where we're waiting for the next fuel price announcement Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I thought it was
It's always the first Wednesday of the week, so we start itching now. We're going like, okay, well, we're getting close. Come on, ministry, tell us what's happening. But the oil price has been looking okay, so we might get a bit of a relief there.
Isn't it? Okay.
South African Reserve Bank Governor Letsedia Kanyago yesterday was basically saying, like, look, don't get your hopes up just because the U.S. Federal Reserve has paused their rate hiking cycle.
We're not out of
the woods yet. We might still have to increase again. It's one of those. We're looking out and saying, where is the end of all of this?
When does
stuff start sorting itself out? And now with the cold, obviously people complaining about that as well and affecting. I mean, seeing a story in the papers today about a lady who's saying like her kids are up crying. I mean, I had a Facebook memory come up that like 8 years ago, I was getting my son ready in the morning, and so 8 years ago he would have been heading towards two.
Okay.
And he discovered a new word.
Yeah.
He just looked at me, he was like, Daddy, cold. And that was the first time he'd ever used the word cold.
But
we were inside, and you know, I'm fortunate, and we've got, and I could dress him up, and so a story in the papers today about a lady in Karatura, you know, living in a shack. And saying her kids are lying awake at night crying because they're just so cold.
It's a really, really sad situation. I remember like a couple couple of days ago, I drove past, not even a couple, today's what, Thursday? I think Tuesday. I drove past, I was going on my way home, Vintuk Vase, Louis Porter, the new one, the new location right across the street. There's a place by the corner there. It's like an abandoned land, hey? So there's actually a lot of homeless people that are that actually staying there, but like it's a lot of people, probably like close to 100, hey?
Sure.
So at this point, where do these people, where can they actually go to just have some, you know, just warm shelter for the night is actually what we need to find out. Like, please share that information with us. Where can we actually refer them to?
Yeah, because there are organizations. I mean, their churches, Roundtable does soup kitchens. And I mean, there are certain places. I don't think we have, or not that I know of, you know, homeless shelters in the same way that they get done in other countries. You know, America, even South Africa is sort of picking up on the idea of you know, actually having these sorts of American-style shelters. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think it always comes down to that, you know, unless it's being run by an organization like a Roundtable or like a church, or, you know, it's a profit motive. You're not going to do something unless you can make money out of it.
Out of it, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I hear you. So here's something that I wanted to touch on, gents. The suicide rate amongst our men in Namibia. That was also quite a big headline this week.
It was. I mean, on Monday morning, I attended the State of the Business, NCCI, Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, State of Business Address. And interestingly there as well, the sort of director of proceedings, in her welcoming address, even sort of, you know, raised the attention of, obviously, drawing attention to the super, super sad case that we saw near the end of last week of an 11-year-old who killed himself because of bullying and because of, you know... Yeah, the world is a tough, tough place. I mean, I can't think back to being 11 and even understanding like the concept of being able to kill yourself. You know, the world has gotten harder for our kids, but not, like you said, not just the kids. I mean, you know, we did a story... This morning's news, did I carry it? I'm trying to, you know, like, I'm getting confused about which news bulletin.
This morning's news,
we had, actually, we spoke to Dr., and I know you guys had spoken to her yesterday on air, I think.
Or, Dr. Merida.
Yeah. And basically asking her, you know, why is it the case? And yeah, you know, guys, we need to talk, you know, and we need to highlight... and I'll say it again right now, and I'll be open. I suffer depression. I'm on antidepressants. I'm on anti-anxiety medication. There's nothing wrong with it. I see a therapist. You know, people have said to me, how can you say those sorts of things? I'm like, why wouldn't I say it? I've got a platform. And I've got a duty in a way to get the message out as well. And we need to, like, guys, we need to talk. We need to this whole idea of like, no, I'm tough, but I can handle it.
But I think it's also really important, also, as much as it's obviously imploring all the men right now to speak up and seek help, which is really important. It is also important for us around our men to create a safe space, because I think it's also the receiving thereof. Like when a man comes to you and tells you that, you know, they're depressed or they're going through stress, they're feeling anxiety, the way that we also receive it, like, just man on, just keep it moving, just move on, you know.
I mean, we've
create
seen
a safer space. Yeah,
we've seen those, not so much memes, but on social media, where, you know, like Will Smith broke down after, you know, the whole revelations from Jada.
And, yeah, yeah.
I can't even remember now, but there were at least like three or four of these sort of strong black men out there who you know, were breaking down. And instead of people actually having some kind of empathy and saying like, wow, you know, you're going through a tough time, and you know, actually I've gone through a tough time like that as well. And maybe that's it, in a way, is that you rather mock them than admit that you have similar feelings, or that you've been through similar things, and you want to keep that macho image up. So let's mock Will Smith for, you know, like, look at that and take from that and say, you know what, if action hero Will Smith,
yeah,
I mean, and he's been quite open about his struggles and in his book and in the sort of YouTube series the book, about his troubles, you know, rather than mocking it, maybe say, right, that he should then be our example. He should be, you know, like, tell our kids it's okay to cry, there's nothing wrong, guys.
Yeah.
I think One factor here in terms of Namibian man that we often miss out when it comes to this conversation is the element of culture. Especially for a black Namibian man. And now kids now also for that matter. Because, you know, culturally, there's no time for that. You know? And I mean, we say create safe spaces. Culturally, who does a man go speak to?
Yeah.
If you think about it, a woman, culturally, she can go speak to perhaps her mother or the mother that she adopted in terms of her marital mom. Mother in love. But for gentlemen, who do they go speak to? Imagine going to the father of your wife.
Yeah, but also like it could be a lot of people actually, starting with your friends.
And I think that's that's
a safe space.
That's on us. That's on us as
like,
well.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know, and I mean, I can't understand obviously the sort of the African the cultural element of it, but I've seen, let's call it the Afrikaans culture, or you know, even in our English culture, there wasn't that, like, you know, like I grew up and I was a lot closer to my mother than I was. There was always that sort of distance that was expected between you and your dad, and you don't talk about those sorts of things. But it's on us because I make a point, and I'm not, you know, saying my dad did anything wrong. It was culture, it was society. He was, you know, working his butt off every day just to try and help us survive and everything. Didn't have time for those sorts of things. And I'm trying to be different in a way. You know, I'm trying to say that the world has moved on, society has moved on, and it's on us as a new sort of generation of dads that I'll take my son aside and I'll squeeze him and I'll hold him tight and I'll tell him, you know, it's okay. You know, we have feelings and you're allowed to talk about them and they're allowed to overwhelm you and you're allowed to break down sometimes. Sometimes you just need to. What's that thing about water? It's, you know, either you can like cry, wash your face, or you know, go for a swim or something.
Yeah,
but there's some like healing power of water. Sometimes the tears just need to come out, and once they're out,
you feel better.
Yeah. David Bishop, thank you so much for your
time. Not really easy today, but okay.
Yeah, David, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you. This conversation will be.